It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Welcome to the teaching ministry of Life Changing Ministries International with Dr. E.K.D. Quick. With your Bible in hand and your heart open to learn, let's join the teaching in progress.
If you will turn with me to the book of Isaiah chapter 45. Today we're going to study some of the divine attributes of God. Yes, God has a multitude of divine attributes. Yet today we're going to study just five attributes. Five attributes that are found only in God. Five attributes that speak to His supremacy. Five attributes that speak to God as absolute, ultimate, and infinite. Five attributes that describe God's nature, that describe who God is, and that is reserved only for God. No other being, imagined or not imagined, could have these particular attributes. Isaiah chapter 45, verses 11 through 12. Point number one, the attribute of God's omnipotence. The attribute of God's omnipotence. Omnipotence means all power. God is all powerful over all creation. Omni, meaning all or every. Potent, meaning powerful. This is God. Omnipotence, almighty power over all creation. He is called God Almighty in the Bible. He is the Lord omnipotent, reigneth. Revelation chapter 19. He is God Almighty. Isaiah chapter 45, verse number 12. I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all the host have I commanded. God is the Creator. This speaks to God's omnipotence, how God created the very stars across the velvet of the sky, how God has created billions and billions and billions of stars, each star different from another, so much so that the Bible says God calleth each star by its own name. This is so many stars as the sand by the seashore innumerable. This is so many stars that there's not enough time created to count them all. Imagine that there's such a great number of stars, such a great number of angels, such a great and huge gargantuan number. It's a finite number. It's a limited number. Yet it's so gargantuan and so huge, there's not enough time created to count them all. That is an omnipotent and almighty God. The Bible says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. When we look at creation, it speaks to an almighty God, a God that creates with such divine diversity, different textures and colors and sights, sounds and aromas, only speaks to an omnipotent, almighty God. When you look at creation, billions and billions of snowflakes, no two snowflakes alike. Billions and billions of people, no two people alike, down to the very DNA in our body. No two blades of grass are alike. No one star is the same as another. God is an all-powerful God. God has created everything we can see and everything we can't see. This physical realm and the spiritual realm. Things under the microscope we cannot see with the naked eye, and things only a telescope can see beyond the naked eye. God has spoken it into existence. God has commanded it from His own being. God willed it and spoken it into existence. This is an almighty, all-powerful God speaking to His power. His power is inexhaustible. His power is unmeasurable. His power is without limit. His power is limitless. The Bible says in the book of Job, chapter 42, verse 2, I know that thou canst do everything. There is nothing beyond the power of God. He has all power in His hand. And yet, this kind God, this holy, righteous, loving God, has the power to change the human heart. Yes, Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26, the Bible says, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have been passed away. Behold, all things have become new. When a person believes on the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, when a person accepts Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sins, believes that Jesus Christ died for our sins and rose from the dead, then they have a new heart. They are born again. They are regenerated, not rehabilitated, but regenerated. They are born from above, and the Holy Spirit has quickened them on the inside, and now they have a brand new heart, a heart of love, of forgiveness, a heart that's bent in the direction of pleasing God. This omnipotent, this all-powerful God that created this universe and beyond is a God that can change hearts also. Point number two, this particular God is an omniscient God. This particular God is an omniscient God. Omniscient, omni, meaning all. Science, or shint, from the word science, meaning knowing. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. This is a God that knows everything. He is all knowing. He knows the beginning and the end and everything in between. He knows the past, the present, and the future, all at the same time, for He operates outside of time. He operates in existence. He operates outside of time. He created time. Time is a physical property. God operates outside of time, and He knows the beginning from the end. Sometimes we on earth get it wrong, and we attribute this omniscience, we attribute this all-knowing capacity to individuals like Santa Claus, to fables like Santa Claus, where the song says, He knows when you are sleeping, He knows when you're awake, He knows when you've been bad or good, so be good for goodness sake. That is teaching our children the wrong sense of the word omniscient. For Santa Claus, being a fable, does not know everything. But God knows everything. This almighty God, this omniscient God, who knows everything from the beginning of time and beyond, yet also knows the hairs on our head. This God also knows our sorrows. Exodus chapter 3 speaks that this God, this awesome God, this omniscient God that knows everything and beyond, even knows our sorrows, even knows the tears that fall. The Bible says, put thou my tears in a bottle. God, who wipes the tears from our eyes, knows the broken hearts that are out there. He knows the bruises and the bleeding from hurts and rejections. And even though He's an omniscient God that knows everything all at the same time, He's a tender, loving God that knows our sorrows and is able to send comfort and patience and love in our hearts to keep us through the times, for God knows our sorrows. The Bible says, seek his face evermore. It's not God that's turned his back on us. It's not God that's turned away. It's not God that's grown distant. It's ourselves who's gone astray. We ought to look to God for the loving embrace, the healing, and the restoration, the comfort. We ought to look to God as the one to wipe the tears from our eyes. Yes, this God is omnipotent, all-powerful. Yes, this God is omniscient, all-knowing. Point number three, God is omnipresent. Omnipresent, omni for all, present for a very place of existence. He is all-present. He is everywhere at the same time. He is ubiquitous, if you will. He is everywhere at the same time. God is the same God whether we are at home. God is the same God whether we are at work. He's able to comfort your hearts at home. He's able to comfort your hearts at work. He's able to wipe the tears from your eyes at home. He's able to wipe the tears from your eyes when you're in the far, far country. He is omnipresent. He is everywhere at the same time. The Bible says in the book of Psalms 139, whither shall I go from thy spirit? Whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. God is with us. He is everywhere at the same time. Let not this psalm, though, confuse some when it says that God is makes his bed in hell. Yes, God is everywhere at the same time, but he may not manifest himself in hell. He does not manifest his peace or manifest his love and kindness or manifest his comfort in hell. He is God. He is everywhere at the same time, but he does not manifest himself in that place. Same way sometimes in the church. Yes, God is there. God is everywhere at the same time. But when we do praise and worship, when we reach out our spirit unto God during precious praise and worship time, we want God to manifest himself. We want him to reveal himself in loving comfort, in mercy, in grace, in restoration, in healing, in miracles, in edification. Yes, he is there in the church service, but we want him to manifest himself. The same symbology is in the Old Testament. God is everywhere, but when the priests would make sacrifice, the sacrifice would be taken up by God, and his Shekinah glory in a thick cloud would descend. His presence would come down and comfort and edify the people. The Bible says when his praises go up, his presence come down. The Bible says in the book of 1 Kings chapter 8, wouldn't God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven of heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. In other words, Solomon is saying that this God is so immense. This God is so gargantuan. This God is so huge. It goes to the ends of the universe and beyond. Even scientists have proven that the universe is expanding at the very speed of light. And one begins to ponder in their sanctified imagination, what is beyond the universe? If the universe is expanding, what is beyond the universe? Well, God is omnipresent, and he goes to the end of the universe and beyond. What an immense God we serve. What a gargantuan God we serve. What a huge and what a grand God we serve. Yet this particular God, this personal God, even though he is omnipresent, desires to dwell in our hearts, desires to be with us no matter what. The Bible says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. The Bible says, if we seek Him, we shall find Him when we seek Him with our whole heart. God wants to be that personal. Even though He's omnipresent, the universe and beyond, He wants to be that personal to where He reigns and dwells in our hearts, comforts us, loves us, leads us, and guides us by the power of His Holy Spirit. What a personal, what a loving God we have. Part number four, God is sovereign. God is sovereign. Sovereign means ultimate reign and rule and preeminence over all creation. Ultimate reign, rule, and preeminence, or being first over all creation. In other words, He is King of kings and Lord of lords. In other words, He answers to no one. Ultimate reign and rule and preeminence over all creation. The Bible says, He is the potter and we are the clay. Mold me, mend me, have thine own way. The Bible says that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Every spiritual knee and every physical knee, every spiritual tongue and every physical tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, whether in heaven or in hell, whether on earth or not on earth. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Why? Because He is King of kings and Lord of lords. And I choose to bow right now. I choose to say Jesus Christ is Lord. I choose to say He is King of kings. And I choose to say that God is sovereign, that He has ultimate reign and rule and preeminence over all creation. Nebuchadnezzar had to learn this the hard way, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And He doeth according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay His hand or say unto Him, What doest thou? Nebuchadnezzar learned that God is in charge. Nebuchadnezzar learned that no one can question God, for God has ultimate reign and rule and preeminence over all creation. God's will be done. Thy will be done, thy kingdom come. Finally, in point number five, God is provident. God is provident. This is divine foresight and forethought, care, and superintendence over all creation. Divine foresight, forethought, care, and superintendence over all creation. God is taking care of us and taking care of the amoeba. God is taking care of us and taking care of the farthest star in the farthest galaxy, light years away. And doing all this at the same time. This points to God's providence, and it bears witness that He is the provider of all good things. Nevertheless, He left not Himself without witness, in that He did good, and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. So when we have food, when we have water, when we have provision, it points to God providing for us, as He is providing for all creation. He is giving foresight, forethought, care, and superintendence, divine management, super management over all creation, all at the same time, keeping the planets in their celestial orbit. He is keeping all things by the power of His hand, divine providence. The Bible says, this God who has divine providence and taking care of everything in creation that we can see and can't see, providing food, providing sustenance, providing sunlight, providing food, providing everything needed for this universe to maintain and be sustained out of His love, providing a hot meal for us, clothes on our back, and a roof over our head. This is part of His divine providence. This is part of His divine love, showing that He is provident over all creation. So these divine attributes we've learned, these five supreme divine attributes, speak to God's supremacy. They are absolute, they are ultimate, and they are infinite. And no other being, imagined or not imagined, no other being in creation or non-creation, has these attributes of being omnipotent, almighty power over all creation, and omniscient, all-knowing, even knowing the sorrows of our heart. Omnipotent, almighty power over all creation, yet able to change our hearts and give us a heart of flesh, and able to take away the stony heart and give us a new heart. Omniscient, all-knowing, knowing the beginning from the end and everything in between, yet he knows the tears that fall from our eyes and knows the sorrows of our heart, and able to provide comfort, peace, and joy in our hearts through Jesus Christ. Omnipresence, everywhere at the same time, out to the outskirts of the universe and beyond, and yet God desires to reign personally in our hearts. And sovereign, ultimate reign and rule and preeminence of all creation, yet God desires to be Lord of our life, to make us lie down in green pastures, to have reign over our life, that we may walk with him and talk with him along life's narrow way. And divine providence, divine foresight, forethought, care, superintendence, divine super management over all creation. This speaks to God and his love providing for us as he provides for the amoeba. He provides for us as he provides energy for the farthest star in our universe. He provides food on our table, clothes on our back, and a roof over our head. And on today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or if you have strayed away from his love and kindness, I desire to pray with you today this prayer of salvation, this prayer of rededication. Won't you bow your head and close your eyes and repeat after me this prayer? Oh God, I am a sinner. I have strayed away from your loving kindness. I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins. I believe that God raised him from the dead. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Save me today. Forgive me, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Life Changing Ministries International. LCMI is a Christian non-denominational teaching ministry based solely on the Holy Bible, dedicated to pleasing God, glorifying Jesus Christ, and ensuring that the Bible is the foundation in everything this ministry proclaims and endorses. For more information, log on to our website at lifechangingministries.com. Please join us again next time for more Bible teaching. And remember, we have the victory through Jesus Christ.